So, hello, my name is Chantal Basurto. I'm a PhD student in the Laboratory of Solar Energy and Building Physics in the EPFL in Lausanne, Switzerland, and I'm going to present you what is the work in progress that we are doing at the moment, and it's about the verification of the computer modeling daylight propagation through complex demonstration systems. So first of all, just to explain you what is the motivation of doing this verification, what's the reason why we need to perform this verification, and it's because the topic of my thesis is about the optimization of daylight in buildings located at low latitudes. So we know that the zone that is considered to be low latitude is in between the tropics, more or less about latitude 10 to 23. And in this zone, so here it's warm and sunny during the whole year. The inclusion of daylight also means the admission of heat, which also increases the cooling load, and also sunrise, which alters the visual comfort and perception of the environment. So the strategies that are standard local strategies in these regions to avoid these problems is to use tinted glazing, to reduce the size of the window, to use protection for the Venetian blinds. But these are not very good strategies in terms of energy efficiency because it reduces the emission of daylight and therefore reduces the use of electric lighting for artificial light. So as part of the methodology of my thesis, I'm analyzing two buildings located in low latitude, more specifically in the center north of Mexico at latitude 22. So just to give you an idea how are the conditions in terms of daylight and sunshine, it's about sunshine hours 7.3 per day in average during the year. And annual daylight hours, it's about 12.6 per day during the year also. So the two buildings that I'm analyzing is two educational buildings. This one is a private university, it's the library building, computing building, and I'm analyzing the office, the administrative office of this building. And the next one is public office, it's dedicated to research, it's also educational building. So just to explain you a little bit what is the problem that we have to solve and going into detail what is happening in these two buildings. The first one has an orientation southwest. So that means that the daylight will come from the back during the morning, from the back of the office. And that's also because in the glazing, as I mentioned before, one of the strategies they use to protect from the sun incidence is to have tinted glazing, and this glazing has very low transmittance, it's 30%. So that makes, and the orientation that makes that the building during this picture is in the morning is quite dark, and they have to use the artificial lighting for that. And during the evening, the sun will move to the facade. So that means that about 4 or 5 p.m., the sun rays will be already incident inside of the room, provoking that they have to close the vertical Venetian blinds that they use, and they need to prevent glare and to prevent the incidence of heat. They have to close the blinds, and they have to use artificial light. The second case, it has a different situation because the orientation is southeast. The problem with this building is that it has very large window. It takes almost the whole wall, and the sun will come in the morning, incident into the room during the morning, and they have as a sun protection fabric blinds, and they have to close them in the morning, and they have to use artificial light. And during the evening, the situation improves regarding the sun incidence, but the low levels in the exterior luminance levels decrease, so therefore they have to use also artificial lights during the day. So what could be a possible solution for these problems is to use complex demonstration systems because of the two different characteristics that they have, depending on the categories of the systems, that it could be solar shading to control the incidence of the sun depending on the elevation of the sun in summer, for example, and to improve the daylight distribution inside of the office by redirecting the daylight. This will have as a consequence that the reduction in the interior cooling load and also in the reduction in the artificial light, which in turn will be the benefit of reduced final energy consumption. So we have already some complex demonstration systems that are available to use. So but in order to decide which one could be the best solution depending on the characteristics of the building, of the office, the location, the latitude, the best to do would be to test it in the full-size room. They are placed usually in the upper part of the window, as you can see in this example. But the problem, this is to perform these testings and changing the systems is complicated, and if we have to do it in a building that is far away, it's also difficult, so it's necessary to find a solution for that. And the solution will be to use simulation with radiance to simulate the daylight propagation of these systems through the compressed demonstration system. And for this, we need to know the luminous transmittance properties of the compressed demonstration systems. And for this, we need to assess it. It can be assessed by the use of a bidirectional photogonimeter that will generate what is bidirectional transmission distribution function, BDDF data that we have been talking about this during this seminar. This will generate what is in the format of the International Energy Agency, and with this data we can know the photometric properties of the CFS characterized by the diagram, so that we know more or less where is the redirected the daylight using this system. But for architects, if we want to apply this data into a project, previously was used by the using the pre-process of Prism 2, that it has a characteristic only two emerging lighting redirections, and it was applied mainly for sharp redirecting CFS, circuit panel, prismatic key, holographic panel. But nowadays, today, there are new available procedures that is by using XML5 format that is already been mentioned in these days. And it needs to be translated from the format of the International Energy Agency into the XML format. And this has an advantage comparing with the Prism 2, that it has multiple lighting redirections. And it uses BTDF data as a metric of size. That means that the input directions, it takes into account the Tregenza zone 145. And as an output, it takes the azimuth and the elevation every 5 degrees, so that makes at the end 1,297 zones. And this uses Michelin as a pre-process. And the second procedure is to use VSDF material, that it also uses XML5, but without need of using Michelin for modeling the propagation of daylight. So what we are going to do in this work is to compare the results obtained by using the pre-process of Michelin with only two emerging lighting redirections with some simulations using already XML5 format using the two procedures. So just before explaining you the methodology that we follow for this verification, I need to introduce you the MONA. The MONA is two experimental modules that are located in the EPFL campus in Lausanne. And they are the reproduction of a full-size office. Typical office is 6 meters by 3 in the facade. And these two modules, they are mainly used for daylight experimentation, and therefore that's why they have the first one. It has an installation of an advanced system and a needleless system. And the second one, it has a standard double glazing window that is 80% transmittance. So this module, the second one with the double glazing, was used by a previous student in the EPFL. Probably you know her work, and you know her, it's Anutai Tanachapriotic. And she used this second module to take some measurements in the real sky conditions, and also using a scale model that you can see here, and also a virtual model. So what she did, it was she has to reproduce the same characteristics of the real size module regarding the reflectances and the transmittance of the window, 80%, in the virtual model and also in the scale model 1 to 10. So in order to compare the results, And she analyzed three different situations, one with the normal double glazing window and two other situations already applying complex fenestration systems to the windows. One is using laser cut panel, 6mm acrylic, and the second was using a prismatic film exterior. She took measurements under real conditions, overcast sky and clear sky conditions. Now I'm going to present only results for overcast sky. And of course, it was three different days of the different illuminance levels in the exterior. For the simulation and the virtual model, she used quite high values for the parameters in order to obtain accurate results. So the results that she obtained, it was by the calculation of the daylight factor, and she presented it by showing the profile of the office room and the daylight distribution depending on the five different cases that she tested. The first one is showing in red, the red profile, and it was the result of measuring under real sky conditions in the real full-size model. The three first cases, A, B, C, were the results that she obtained by measuring the scale model under the artificial sky simulator that is also in the EPFL, a facility in the EPFL. The first one, case A, is under real sky conditions. If you remember, she placed the model next to the real one to measure under the real situation. The case B was under the artificial sky using a CIE standard overcast sky type 1. The case C, it was using the same virtual model under the sky simulator, but she measured the sky luminance distribution of the sky with the sky scanner that was also placed in the top of the module. And the last two cases was already with the virtual model, using the CIE standard sky distribution, and the second one using the data that she obtained from the sky scanner. And we are using for this comparison, you can see in red, the results of the real building measurements and the results of the purple one, the virtual model with the CIE standard sky distribution. So just like summarize a little bit what I'm going to present you is, in your left you have the results of Anatype, the measurements of the real building, and the simulation that she did using the primitive Prism 2. And on your right we have what I'm going to compare with some results using also Prism 2 with BTDF 2 Prism 2 that it was developed in the EPFL by Jerome. And using also XML5 in three cases, using BTDF with the preprocess of Michelin, using BSDF material, and some tests that we did using BSDF and adding Michelin. This you will understand more clearly in the next slide, I hope. So the first results I'm showing you, it was just modeling the normal standard window without any complex fenestration system. So I used exactly the same pipes that she has. And in the window, she had the transmittance of the window plus ray direction samples, some values for the parameters of direction samples and ray samples. And the results, you can see that red one, the red color is, and purple is her result using the real building and the simulation. The blue one is the new simulation that performed, so you can see that it almost follows the same path in the back of the room. Close to the window, you can see this little bump. This is because she took measurement points every meter, and I added every 10 centimeters so we can see more clearly what is happening next to the window. And we also took computing time to see more or less, in order to compare the differences between them. So for the second result, it's already applying the laser cut panel to the window, and when adding the system to the in order to obtain the octree, Anata, she used lasercutpanel.cal, and I used this BTDF to prism.cal. That is the difference between them. It's the coordinate systems that it has the up 001 up direction, and also the takes into account the Tregenza zones 145 for the input and every 5 degrees azimuth and elevation for about 2097 zones at the end. So that means that using this new file, it will be more accurate results. So the results that you can see is by using this new Prisma 2, it's also following, is very close to the results of the real measurements in the red color, and a little bit different next to the window also because of the measurement points every 10 centimeters. Computing time was about 72 hours, which is kind of a lot, but if you think that the parameters that she used, it was quite high for accurate results, probably it's normal. The second test, it was by using the Michelin process using PTDF data, already using XML5. And the result is almost the same that using Prisma 2. In here I added already the result of the Prisma 2 plus this result of PTDF, so you can see that it's almost following the same path. And in the picture, if you compare already this picture with the picture of the normal glazing, so you can see that in here we already have light going into the ceiling and also into the upper part of the walls when using this system. The next was using already the second procedure, BSDF material, but it also uses XML5 without the need of using Michelin. And in this one, the result of the profile is the green color, so you can see that it's kind of the same path through the room, but in close next to the window, it gets a little bit flat and going a little bit to the 10% of the daylight factor. Computing time was 60 hours, more or less than the previous procedures. And in the picture, you can see it looks much more natural than the previous one, a little bit more realistic. This is some test that we wanted to do. It was by adding Michelin to the BSDF material just to see if the computing time was improving by adding Michelin, but the simulation is just stays like this because it wasn't finished by the time that I was coming here. And it was taking time, so I don't know if you probably know, have any suggestion in this, you know, why, some reason why it was taking too long to be processed. And the second step, it will be to continue with the same methodology, but taking into account the second system, complex fenestration system, that it was already FIM 3M. So it's the same procedure, and in here the results, you can see that the daylight distribution was much higher, not really getting close to the simulation of the real, to the measurements of the real building or the results of the simulation that Anatoly performed. So it's kind of maybe a little bit in the half of the room it equals, and in the back under predicts the luminance levels. So for this, it took a little bit more than using the Lazenkov panel we presented. And the picture is also, you can see the daylight going to the ceiling and to the second part of the walls. So for this, it's following the same procedure, but these simulations weren't that finished by the time. But anyway, I wanted to show you that we are following exactly the same procedure that we're using Lazenkov panel. So up to here is just work in process. But anyway, wanted to conclude something. Even if the work is not finished, we can see something finally with the results that we already obtained. So we could see that using these new procedures is reliable because the results that we obtain, at least comparing the Lazenkov panel, are close to the measurements taken in the module under real size conditions. That using simulating a sharp redirecting device, we obtain results closer than when using a non-less sharp redirecting device, such a prismatic film. And the computing time didn't increase that much when applying the XML5, and in some cases, it even reduced. Again, this is like a preliminary conclusion. It's not really conclusive, but we can say that this is a possibility. And finally, that using the new procedures with the XML5, it gives you more possibilities of testing more CF complex fenestration systems, as you can test not only sharp redirecting CFS, but sharp redirecting CFS also. And finally, why is this necessary to my work. It's because the two offices that I mentioned before that I'm analyzing, I'm taking, I took already measurements on their solstice, winter and summer solstice, in order to calibrate the virtual model that I can use, that I can say that is reliable for testing on complex fenestration systems. And I already have two models of the virtual models of those offices, and the idea is to test complex fenestration systems on them with the BTDF data that we have already available in the laboratory of laser cut panel, prismatic film, Lumitop, and so on, and some others that are at the moment being assessed with the photogoniometer that we will be able to test in these two virtual models to choose which one is giving better results for the optimization of daylight in this office. So thank you for your time.
Other skies as opposed to, is it which is the standard CIA overcast sky? And are there any, because currently most, say, rules of thumb or practices are predominantly northern hemisphere climates. Will there be anything that's more kind of climate specific?
Yeah, well, but for the testing of this work with these modules, it was this clear sky and overcast sky. But at the moment, we started with the overcast. We are going to test also with clear sky in the after this step, is the plan idea.
Are there any unique conditions sort of an intermediate condition that you don't get in the northern hemispheres? I know I did a project in Colombia, and like every day, any day it rains. Are there any kind of location specific instances that will be different from the northern hemisphere? Or
consider another conditions, or
For example, say if you take Singapore, it's nearly always overcast. Are there any kind of intermediate conditions that are unique to Mexico?
Well, at the moment, this is the center north, and the weather conditions there are very changing, even very close cities or very close locations. But at the moment, this is not really, really tropical weather conditions, but it has quite light sources of daylight and sunlight. So at the moment, it's testing under these real conditions and considering the daylight situation, the sunlight. This answer your question?
Not a question, but just a hint, because of the discrepancies you have near close to the window region in the comparison between measurement and simulation, might be that it's due to a simple geometric case of the cutoff induced by a finite wall thickness. So if you maybe try, for example, to subdivide the polygons, for example, in NKLM, don't use it one window pane as one NKLM source, but try to subdivide it, and you might reduce this cutoff effect. So there is a possibility of getting the simulation closer to the real.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't consider that. Thanks.
For the real measurements, do you have access to a sky scanner or something?
In the laboratory, in the episode, yes.
But you haven't used that data for your simulations, have you?
No, because for my simulations, I don't have this possibility. We are using, actually, for the simulations, irradiance data, watt per square meter, and using GemSky with the Paris model to modulate a more realistic situation.
Paris model?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
No question.